Good to be back with you guys. I was gone last weekend. My wife and I got to go to California not one last time. We're having a baby in May. So we're like, let's go. Let's get away. Just us two one last time. But I missed you. I'm not going to lie. It's good to be back. Winnie, I had an amazing time, by the way. I love you. It was great. I miss these people. They're my friends, which is what we're talking about today. We are talking about friends. We're talking about relationships, this little mini series relationships that we're sticking with. Today is friends. Last week was dating. And now we're kind of moving on into friends. Before you date, you should be friends. So maybe we should have done this one first. I don't know. But we're going to talk about friendships today. And it reminded me of my childhood friendships. This is what it reminded me of, though. I had this like really, really weird concept of friends when I was growing up. I was like ADHD with activities, which actually is kind of like really what ADHD is. And so I like had a best friend though for every category. So like for like sports, I had like, dude, Miles, that's my best friend, man. When it comes to sports, like, dude, we're locked in. And then like Legos, it was my cousin Mitch. Dude, that guy could create something. And then I had like a G.I. Joe's best friend over here because he had all the cool G.I. Joe's. Are G.I. Joe's in still? Probably not at all, huh? Everything's just iPad and electronics, so like no more action figures. Anyway, I had this like weird concept of best friends. Like I couldn't pick one. I couldn't just pick one. I had to have like four. I had four. Best friend one, two, three, and four. And Halloween comes, and I'm like, oh no, who do I go trick-or-treating with? This is gonna be complicated because I'm in sixth grade and I really wanna go trick-or-treating, but that's kind of lame. Is it lame in sixth grade? No? Oh, wow. Tanner, nope, still do it. Back then, back in my day, it was lame to go trick-or-treating, and best friend number two, Matt, was like, no, it's not. I'm going. And so I'm like, me too. So we got our pillowcase ready because we already full of candy, as you can see. We got our pillowcase ready. Like, I'm not doing that little jack-o'-lantern thing. I've got the pillowcase, and it was actually huge. It was like way bigger than this because I was planning on hitting it big. I was like, I'm like, dude, this is my last time trick-or-treating. Like, I'm calling it quits. I cannot do it in seventh grade. No way. That's middle school. So, that's apparently times have changed. Apparently, we still trick-or-treat. But I was like, let's do this, Matt. Let's go. And so we dressed up. I don't remember what we dressed up as. I was like a Power Ranger 4 years in a row, so, and definitely not in sixth grade. That would have been bad news. So we hit this neighborhood. Now, do any of you guys have like a jackpot neighborhood that you used to go to, like a go-to, like, dude, yes, I'm ending there. I'm going to end with a bang. That was like right by my house. My parents knew exactly what they were doing when they moved. They're like, my son's going to love this neighborhood. It's the jackpot of trick-or-treating, and here's why. There's a cul-de-sac, four houses, a cul-de-sac, the grand finale of trick-or-treating. You knock on the door, trick-or-treat, and they have the good stuff. They have the usual good stuff. Let's see here. They've got the Tootsie Pops. They got the color Tootsie Rolls. Who wants this one? That one's good. Dots taste like plastic. They didn't give those out. They got Tootsie Rolls. I'm just gonna. That's weird. They got. Let's see what else we got here. I'm just gonna start going crazy. You guys got Oreos. You're not getting anything. There's some candy over there. So, sorry. I just chucked a lollipop. That's not a good idea. Okay, can you catch? Okay, share. Ryan, you were trying to steal some candy from me earlier, so here's some dots. Oh! That was right there! Anyway, I'm off track. They had everything, man. They had everything. Second house is even better, though. Okay? Second house is even better. Trick-or-treat. Open the door. King size. Anything you want, bro, I got it. King size. So I'm like, I'm rocking the Snickers. Keeping this. No way you're getting that. What do you want? You want Snickers. You want Butterfinger. You want Almond Joy. Those are gross. I don't have those. Payday, whatever you want, I've got it. I was like, I love you. And so this guy, the king size, I'm like, what could possibly be next? So we go over and ding, trick-or-treat. I don't know why I'm going ding, trick-or-treat. I got something for you, bro. Like, what? That was a dentist. He gave us fruit and a toothbrush. That's why this toothbrush popped out of my bag. So we're like, all right, we're leaving. No, I don't even want to keep the fruit. So we bail because that guy was lame. He was a dentist. He's like, what? It's natural sugar. And so finally, we ended on house number 4, the grand finale of all houses. What could I possibly pull out of this bag right now?
A puppy.
A puppy. It's like, ring, ring, trick or treat. Happy Halloween. The guy gives us cash, dude. Like some just old dude, just retired, just money. Who does this? Who gives a kid money? Let alone who has enough money and is in this neighborhood to just shell out cash? I mean it was a buck, but like to me, I was like, oh, be right back. And I was thinking, I'm gonna change costumes. I'm gonna bring like 7 costumes and just keep coming back and be like, okay, thank you, bye. But this guy's giving us cash. Are you kidding me? So like we scored. We scored on Halloween and be like, dude, let's go. But there was one obstacle standing in our way, because when you go out of that cul-de-sac and you turn right, every year there's this gang of 6th graders that are hiding in the bushes waiting for vulnerable children and very weak dads to jump, steal our money and our king-size Snicker bars. So we're like, dude, Matt, can we do it? Yes, we can, Matt. Yes, we can. We're strong. Me and Matt were like a buck 05 in 6th grade. We're like, we're strong. No, we're not, but we can do it. And we're feeling brave, so we go. It's like the dark forest in The Hobbit. Like, it's just like, it looks like death. Or we could go this way, which is rainbows and flowers. It's a long way home, but we're like, no. Let's just do it. So we go, man, and I'm literally like, I'm walking and like first step, boom, I get hit in the face with an egg. I'm on the ground, and then egg, boom, 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 boom. I'm getting clobbered. I look over, Matt's on the ground, yolk everywhere. Johnny! And like, he's just getting pummeled and we're getting tossed around and candy, money, gone, humiliation all over me, yolk all over me. And I look up and I'm like, who could possibly be doing this? It's Danny Coleman. You're like, I know. Best friend number 3. Danny Coleman is running away like, I'm sorry. And it's like, and I'm like, no. Him and his friends, he was in the gang this whole time. Best friend number 3, Danny Coleman, was in the gang. I got betrayed. I'm still dealing with it. You can tell. Right now, I'm dealing with this. I needed to confess this moment right now. But oh, I found out who my friends were that night. I did. We ran home. We stopped by Chase Sherlock's house, and his dad was crazy. So we're like, dude, let's see what he can do. We hop in the car. He's literally ready to kill these kids. We're driving 80 looking for these kids. And I'm like, dude, I found out who my friends were that night, and I found out who they weren't. And this is an enormous intro that probably took way too long, but just is an example of how I thought I had a ton of friends growing up. Like, I thought I had a ton of friends that just, we liked the same things. We did the same things. We assumed that we were friends. Yeah, I had a jacked up, like, reality of what friends, like, best friends were. Like, it's not about what you do. That doesn't make him a friend. But even as I got further on into high school, I still couldn't figure out. It's just a bunch of surface level relationships, right? Like Facebook has convinced us that you have what? Like 1,500 friends? Something ridiculous like that? Like, but here's the deal. And we're gonna talk about a little bit today, like friendships, a Facebook friend truly isn't a friend because honestly, It's deeper than that. And Facebook, this is what it does. It proves this. It actually doesn't prove it. It backs up God's original design that we need relationships. We need people. We, like, are wired. Deep down, we're wired to, like, desire not even just relationships, but friendships. Like, why do you think you press accept? Other than you just want to be obviously more popular, but like you want relationships, you want connectivity. And throughout the Bible, God uses relationships. God originally designed man to what? When creation was done, God goes, it's not yet finished, because God says man weren't designed to be alone. He gives him, yes, a woman. He gives him a wife. Ultimately, though, he knew that in order for it to be complete, he needed a relationship. Jesus knew the same thing, too. When he starts his ministry, like, the first thing that he does is he goes and he picks his 12 disciples. So Jesus understands the importance of relationships and friendships. And so throughout the Bible and now, and you can even tell in culture and in our hearts, we're wired to need friendships. Open up your Bibles. I'm just going to show you two verses that we're really going to hit on today. Go to Proverbs 18. We'll go there first. There's really just two, there's a million verses that we could use, but I don't want to shotgun shell everything at you. You won't retain anything. So let's just really simplify it and look at two. Proverbs 18:24, it says this: one who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And I actually love the ESV because it says, a man of many companions soon comes to ruin. It's almost this idea of a man of like a ton of Facebook friends, but no real deep relationships. It's not going to work out, but there's a friend who actually, a deep friend, that someone who sticks closer than a brother, that's what we're looking for. Just go to the left, even to Proverbs 13, just five verses to the left, and go to verse 20, and it says, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. If you walk with the wise, you become wise. So it's this idea of like, man, there should be some good influence in those friendships, in those relationships. One says, yeah, no, it's not okay to just have a bunch of surface level friends if there's nothing really strong in that core of friends. If it's not a true deep down friendship, then what good is it? And then the other says, but also, if you have to walk with the wise to become wise, you have to have a good influence in order for it to truly affect you how it was meant to affect you. I've got two questions I want to ask you guys. I want us to prime our brains right now as we step into this. I want you to answer them yourself. It'll be on the screen. One, do I have a ton of surface-level relationships with people that I consider friends? A man of many companions. Do I have a ton of surface-level relationships with people I consider friends? Is it activities? Is it just time spent with each other? Or is it real? Is it more than that? A second question. Or do I have a smaller core of people that have deeper relationships with each other? Is there actually meat on the bones with my friendships? Do we talk about and do things that actually matter? And is the community influencing me for the good? Now, I asked you guys on Twitter a few days ago, okay, what does a good friend look like? A lot of you replied. At @Ali_Wisniewski, did I pronounce that correctly? You replied, someone you can tell anything to, and they'll give you their honest advice. Spot on. Yeah, definitely. Ali is spot on with that. Honesty, right, is huge. It's a huge component of friendship, both with them and you. Like, it's not a one-way street, right? Like, you want them to be honest with you, but, like, it was only if you were honest with them. @CandyAppleAli, said, someone who doesn't talk behind your back. I've had some experiences with that. I don't want a friend who's going to backstab me, right? I don't want a friend who's like, he's with me and he's awesome and he's legit, and then he's a Danny Coleman on Halloween. He jacks my candy. I don't want a friend who's one person with me and a different person with someone else. At Juliana Mealy says, they're loyal, truthful, and your go-to person. A friend has integrity. Like I just said, they don't change. They take care of each other, right? At Brittany Gutwein said, Proverbs 18:24. So you stole one of my answers. Thank you. Appreciate that. Proverbs 18:24 was a man of many companions who suffer harm, right? And then finally, X-wing at aliciousness said, a friend is there in the bad and the good. Like, right, you want someone, you want a friend in your life you're going to go to in the best, in the worst of times. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at all times, but a brother is born for adversity. Now, here's the deal, guys. I could go on and on about what a friend is, but I think you guys already know what that looks like. I don't want to spend the next, 12 minutes explaining, what is a good friend? Like, I feel like you know that. I really do feel like you know that. And honestly, this isn't just a Christian friend. Like, I don't want a friend who's a non-believer or a believer that's untruthful, right? It doesn't matter if he's a Christian or not. I don't want him if he's going to be some chameleon. I don't want a friend who's going to stab me in the back. I don't want anything. So, honestly, it would be kind of pointless for me to keep pounding in, what does a true friend look like? But here's the deal. Do you know why? Do we really know, why we need the right kind of friendship? Why do we need a friendship? And, why is it so important? And, do we truly have what we're going to talk about today in that a biblical friendship? Let's unpack what a biblical friendship is for a little bit. I'm talking meaningful, intentional relationships. A man of many companions may suffer harm, but there's a friend who sticks closer to a brother. Is there a friend in your life right now, maybe in this ministry, in your house group, maybe another believer somewhere else that you go to? Because you know when I go to that friend, when we're together, when we do life together, there's intentionality with that. We stick closer to a brother. There's actually something there. We talk about and do things that matter. Some be like, yeah, no, it's him. We every day we play Call of Duty after school. It's my best friend. Do you do anything besides talk to people online and shoot fake army guys? Is there anything other than time spent, anything other than the activities and what your similar interests are that you guys are actually going deep with each other? Because here's, guys, it's so crucial that we understand this. We are wired, like I said earlier, to want people, but we're so wired to be easily influenced, it's insane. We are so wired in our hearts, we're just born with this desire to want to fit in, to people please. Some of you, not as much as others, but there's still an innate sense that you want to be, you are influenced by your surroundings. So what are you surrounded by? We're talking biblical friendships. Are you surrounded with truth? Are you surrounded with some brothers and sisters in Christ that are honestly making you a better Christian, right? Do you love Jesus more because of them? And that's a tough question to ask ourselves right now. I've seen, this is part of my testimony right here. I've seen too many friends and family, their lives completely crumble because of lack of this. I remember I was in high school speaking at camp. I was the guy that tried to set the record on how many people I could invite to camp. We had this contest, Invite the most people you get to ride up in the front of the bus, or you get this t-shirt. And so I was like, oh, dude, that's going to be me. I invited literally 9 people to summer camp 1 year. I think I still hold the record. But here's the deal. Like, those kids made some incredible decisions that weekend. They placed faith in Jesus. But then, honestly, I did a terrible job of inviting them into a godly community, like, and not following up with them. Like, they didn't step into a small group. They didn't decide to get plugged into the church. And so what happens? They make this amazing decision, and this life changed. What they felt was this incredible moment. They were surrounded by these awesome Christian people, and then they go back into school, and they're gone. Because they went back into their old ways. They went back into their old crowds and their old friends, and they weren't surrounded with the truth. They weren't surrounded with the right thing. Right, because this is where it gets tricky. If you're a Christian in here, this is where it's really tricky, because you've got 2 Bible verses that you've got to blend together. You've got be a light, be a salt and a light. And then you've also got bad company corrupts good character. So how do those fit? This is a conversation that I'm having with my small group, actually, quite frequently, right? Like, we're always trying to figure this out. Like, dude, okay, like, I'm a Christian, but I've got non-Christian friends. I want these non-Christian friends. That's amazing. That's good. That's what you should want. I've got these non-Christian friends, but, like, at the same time, where's the line? Where's the line that I have crossed too far into, to now I'm too far in either of them? I'm either too far in the world, or I'm in this Christian bubble over here, and I've become this, like, germaphobe to the world, where if you get too close to me, I've got to keep this distance, otherwise I'm going to be infected. And so, like, I don't want to get too close. Then you got the other guys that are like, no, man, I got to be all in, man. Dude, I'm trying to get to these. I'm trying to get to the druggies. I'm smoking pot with them every day, and eventually they're going to be a Christian. No, that is not, please listen right now. So we gotta blend both of these things. First thing is, I'm gonna repeat it like we just talked about. The first thing that you have to do, like, if you've gotta have that Christian community that we just talked about. You have to have a solid core. Let's get really practical for a second. Let's look at Jesus. Usually turns out well when we look at Jesus, right? Jesus, when he stepped onto the scene and he went, he called his what? He's got 12 disciples. He realized, I can't do this alone. So he's got 12 disciples. He's got a solid group. He's got a really good intentional group that they're pouring into each other's lives, man. Their time is intentional, and, like, they know each other, and it's like this, it's a solid group. Some of them way stronger than others, right? Some of them really close. He's got then 3 close friends, Peter, James, and John. He's got a close circle of 3. So Jesus has a group of 12, but then it's like a funnel. Then he's got a solid, really close group of 3. And now this is where we're getting really practical with you guys, okay? If you need help, if you maybe need, like, okay, what is that line? I would say look at Jesus' model. I would totally recommend this model for you. I'm being just really just plain and simple with you guys. Like, if you need a number, it doesn't have to be spot on, but, like, what's a group of 2, 3, 4? Like, are there some solid friends, Christian friends in my life that we're pouring into each other? We're meeting up. We're not just playing video games. Ladies, you're not just doing girl things. You're actually, like, doing and talking about things that matter. And some girls in here play video games. That's awesome. That's great. But, like, sorry. You actually are doing things that matter and are making each other more and more like Jesus. You gotta have something small like that. But also, you gotta have, I feel like, a body, a big community. And look, that's right here. HSM, guys, this is an incredible example of a solid body, a solid community of lovers of Jesus, your house groups, some of you have 12, like right on the number in your house groups, man, that is a brilliant example of what Jesus is talking about, and you need a body of fellowship of believers that are on the same page with you. But look, don't get in a bubble. Don't get in a Christian bubble to where you're so comfortable here. You're so comfortable here on the weekends, on Wednesday nights in house groups that's all you need. Dude, man, like, why would I want anything else? Don't think that way, please. The second thing is we need relationships with non-believers. We do. We need those relationships with non-believers. I really do think the most effective way, the best way for us as Christians to show Jesus, to be Jesus in someone's life, and to honestly just flat out tell them about Jesus, is to form a relationship. I went to ASU. There was a guy with a bullhorn that was at like the cafeteria that just stood and just, I mean, yeah, he was like saying John 3:16 and all of these great things, but dude, that didn't work. Like, relationships need to be formed because there's got to be a comfortability that's oftentimes there that's needed before finally they're going to open up to even that kind of a thought. Jesus in Matthew 9 says he's eating with tax collectors. He's reclining at a table, it says. And the Pharisees goes, that guy is a friend of sinners. Yep. Jesus was a friend of sinners. There's relationships that he was intentionally having and purposefully having with non-believers. I was, before this job in July, I worked at a golf course in North Scottsdale called the TPC. So we have that crazy big golf tournament every year here in Phoenix. Honestly, this is the greatest job. The second greatest job I've ever had. It was so easy. We just stood outside, and we're those guys, and when the carts come rolling off the course, we're like waving them down. They're trying. They're just like, no, I just want to get to the parking lot. I don't want to tip you. And we're like, just like, no. And so like we get them down, and I'm just there, just washing clubs, having conversations with the golfers, with my friends, my coworkers, and like that right there was honestly there's this friend that we had. He was this military guy, so he was just like the most black and white, straightforward, like he'll say what he wants to say. He was a Christian, so that's a really good combo. And he was a great example for these other guys. There was a group that came off the course one time. It was a bachelor party. And alcohol was involved. Alcohol, sun, and no water mixed. Not a good thing. Alcohol mixed really with anything, you guys, it's terrible. They come off the course, and they're like, they're expecting us to like relate, be like, yeah, we're all guys. Hey, you guys, you going to a strip club after this? And he goes, you guys know of any good strip clubs? And my friend George is like, no, I don't know of any good strip clubs, sir. And my friend in the back, non-Christian, is like, oh. And then the other guy's like, oh, okay, that was not what I expected. Well, what are you guys doing after work? You guys, you know, they're at like a local bar. You guys go and hang out and get drunk and all this. And my friend's like, no, I'm actually going to go home, play with my kids, and then just be really intentional with my wife. And the guy's like, and my friend's back like, oh. Non-Christian, he's just enjoying the show. Like, this guy's just getting roasted, and he's just enjoying this. And finally, he's like, all right, well, okay. I don't have any money, but, like, I have some weed. And George is like, no, I don't smoke. And my friend's like, dang it! Like, he's like, oh! So my friend in the back was like, okay, well, that wasn't cool. But like, there was this guy, this George, he made such amazing conversations happen when we would close. When we would wash carts for an hour, when we would just like hang out, like he created so many instances like that where like it led to like incredible conversations. Like, it took a course of a summer for a couple of these guys that we really wanted to reach. Like, finally, where they were actually ask us tough questions. non-Christians would actually open up to us, because honestly, it took some time. It took a relationship to be formed. Guys, that's where I'm going with this right now, is you have to have both. You've got to have a deep relationship with a solid group, a core of believers that are surrounding you with truth, that are influencing you, because ultimately your influence, your guidance shouldn't come from the world, because it's a lie. It's not the word of God. It's not truth. Your life has to be guided by truth, and it won't be unless you're surrounded by it. At the same time, you've got to have intentional relationships and friendships with non-Christians. And I'm speaking really, I think, specific to this audience in here. We got a culture here in HSM where we tend, I see, not all of it, it's, I don't want it to sound negative, but I tend to see a little bit of either one. Either the bubble, we tend to fit in that bubble, that Christian bubble, or we don't quite understand the balance. The friendships, the balance that we should have, and why. So I wanted you guys to just really walk away with today the importance of both. Let's end with just some last questions. Let's evaluate right now. Are you the kind of friend that was described today? Maybe be honest. Be honest with yourself. Are you the kind of friend that was described today? I think a sub-question to this, it's not up there, it's, are you interested more in being a friend versus receiving a friendship? Is there maybe too much take in your friendships, your relationships with people? Are you expecting too much to get and not enough to give? If not, man, they're like, if it's small, step it up, you know, step up those friendships. If it's kind of deeper than that, it's bigger, then I really feel like God right now is calling you, he's convicting you to confess that and to approach and reconcile maybe a relationship that you really do need to fix. Secondly, do you truly have these kinds of friends in your life today? Evaluate the situation, assess the situation, and figure out, do I have those types of friends? Not just Christians and non-Christians. Well, yes, evaluate, do you have both? But do I have the types of the true biblical friendships in my life right now where we're talking about, we're doing things that matter? I'm a better Christian because of that guy. Maybe lastly, do you feel like you need to break out of your Christian bubble? I don't think I threw that up. Do you need to break out of a Christian bubble, or do you need to remove yourself a little bit from a certain circle that you're currently running in that's not building you up? I'll end with this. There's an illustration. Are you a thermostat or are you a thermometer? Are you a thermometer that you walk into the room and you adapt to the temperature of the room, you adapt and you are led by circumstance? Or are you a thermostat where you walk into the room and you set the tone, you set the temperature, and you go, I'm gonna be true to me, I'm gonna set the tone, I'm gonna show Jesus, and I'm not gonna be swayed. And if you're me, please be more. And if you feel like me, I have so much, tend to be so much more of a thermometer than a thermostat. Be that kind of a friend. Be that kind of a person. Let's pray. Jesus, we look at you, we look at your life, and we're so impressed by how you truly understood the importance of relationships. You had a solid community, a group of men that you poured into. They poured into you, and I mean, and then I think of you and and how you were the friend of the tax collectors and the sinners. You had this incredible balance of both, and you were just ultimately, though, you knew exactly where you were going with it. You had an intentional plan in reaching those non-Christians. May we be friends of both. May we have both, but ultimately, Lord, may we understand and may we walk away today with the simple truth that I've got to have a surrounding of truth. I've got to have some solid friends in my life that are making me love you more. And if I don't, I pray you open up an opportunity for that to happen. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Love you guys.